This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Mutt Recap News on Monday, the 22nd of September, 2025. Where is time going? We're in Q3. In 9 days' time, we'll be in Q4. It's scary, isn't it, how fast time flies by. And it's still been a tricky market in certain areas, but it'll get better as interest rates come down. You know, the market's always going to be hard. It's never going to be easy to make money. If it is, you probably invest in a bubble or a scam or something like that, you know. It's always going to be tricky, so you always have to do some work, but it's going to get easier as interest rates come down. But of course, it's company specific. Certain companies will, you know, have blow-ups and profit and revenue misses, profit warnings, etc. Anyway, let's get some macro news. Reeves says she's backing builders, not blockers. So they've got this approval for the second runway. Gatwick's £2.2 billion second runway plan was approved yesterday by Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander. They're saying, Gatwick said, the shovel-ready project will add 14,000 jobs and as much as £1 billion in extra economic activity a year. Have a guess, right, how many flights fly out of Gatwick every year? Currently, have a guess, how many flights? No, it's more than 10. Currently handles about 280,000 flights a year. And he says the plan would enable that number to rise to around 389,000 flights a year. So the plan approved by Ms. Alexander will include adding 40,000 more flights before the second runway opens and 70,000 more, almost 190 a day, once it's fully up and running. Passenger numbers could rise by up to 80 million. Currently, the Northern Runway is only used for taxiing or as a backup. The second runway could be used for short-haul flights with capacity also feed up more long-haul services from the main runway. So they've got two runways. They run in parallel, pretty much. The main runway and the Northern Runway. And the Northern Runway is about, a quarter shorter? They're going to move it 12 metres up from the main runway, and maybe extend it, I think. How is that going to cost £2.2 billion? I've had a couple of quotes on my drive recently, right? And one guy came along. I'm not going to be disparaging about a certain community or anything, but he was quick to give me a cost and time. So we can do that in like 10 days. And I kept the guys in who do driveways and all that stuff. They could do that in a couple of weeks. It wouldn't cost £2.2 billion. What do you need? A couple of lights, a bit of tarmac. So you need, isn't it? Let's be honest. I don't see how you're going to get £2.2 billion. How long will it take? Never mind. At least it's helping anyway, going in the right direction. But she did say she is backing working people. We are backing, backing builders. And she said, building an economy that works for working people. Working people. Let's see what happens when we come to the budget. Because there's some suggestions she'll have to raise tax in some way. So we'll see what the excuse will be. Some are saying there's no way she can't raise tax now on working people. Unless, I know how you get around it. If they're still going to be quoting the working people nonsense, right, that phrase, working people, because they suggest anyone earning good money who's a working person isn't a working person, which is nonsense, isn't it? You know, but I think they go over, obviously, pensions. Because they'll say, well, they aren't working people. So I think you lose tax relief going in, and they can probably tax you on the way out as well. I did read a report on the weekend suggesting there's 10, 20 billion they can make up in doing that. So it's ridiculous how they're classing working people. They make their own definition of working people just so they can go around this and tax other people. So we'll see. Let's see if she's backing working people. Let's look at the indices here. I notice gold's up. I'll get that in a bit. Let's go through the markets first of all. The UK FTSE 100, it's down a tenth of 1%, 9205. The FTSE 250, it is down again, same tenth of 1%, 21,563. The FTSE small cap, it's up a tenth of 1% to 7168. The AIM all share, I kept mentioning this. Now, I don't know what's rising here today, whether it's a big mover, a big hole. What is Jet 2? That's one of the biggest. But the FTSE AIM all share is up to just over half of 1%, 777.82. Now, it got this level last time, recent high, and it pulled back in the day. So where's the biggest mover here? The flights are going up because, Jet 2's not going up. It's rolled over again. What's the biggest riser here then? Because I was thinking maybe it's bullish for airlines, but I don't think it is. Let's have a look what the biggest risers are. Sorry, bear with me. I should have planned this a bit better. But I can't see why that's up by 0.55% today and everything else is brought down. No, there's no big companies up on the AIM all share. So I can't see why that's happening. Anyway, it's good news. If it's breaking out there, that's good news there. The AIM also generally is up. commodities. Brent crude is down by 0.28% to $66.56 a barrel. Gold, all-time high again, gold. That's nuts, isn't it? There's worry about the dollar. The weakening of the dollar, of course, interest rates coming down. But it's up to $3,757. Dollars an ounce, up 1.4%. Gold there. Copper's up a little bit, tenth of 1%. What else there? Bitcoin. It got to the highest it got to recently is 118,000. Now, the recent high was 123,000, and that was back in August. And now we've had this pullback on the 18th of September, got to 118,000, pulled back a little bit, and now it's down 2.3% today. 112,000. This does look like a head and shoulders pattern here, and looks like it's rolling over. So not very good for crypto. What else we got here? Let's have a look at the dollar index. Yeah, the dollar's it bounced the last three sessions, but today it's down a little bit, a fifth of 1%, 97.64. A pound. Well, in fact, let's look at the bonds first. 2-year yield is up 3.97. It's down a tenth of 1%. The 10-year is at 4.7, again down a tenth of 1%. And the 30-year is down a third of 1% to 5.54. A pound will buy you €1.14, so it's become a bit cheaper against the euro, and $1.35. By the way, there's not many results out today. We're looking at the company calendar on my website, sharepickers.com. There's quite a few results out. Tuesday is a big day. Last Tuesday, I did about 12 or 13 results. And tomorrow, it's not as busy, but as far as I can see here, you've got Amcomri, HVivo, Keys, MPAC, Transcend Technologies, Phonix, ITIM, Kuth, the Mission Group, and the U Group tomorrow. So Transcend and Phonix are doing full year results. Everywhere else, interim results. Sorry, I'm in the middle of sneezing here. I'm trying not to. I do apologise. And it's three results I can see, as far as I can see, on Wednesday. There's quite a few on Thursday, four. But I'll cover that anyway. Today, there's not a lot, to be honest. There's one good bit of news I hold. But let's get to that database, first and foremost. So, Beaks Financial Cloud, significant exchange cloud partnership. Good news here. So Beaks at 194 share, market cap of 130 million, enterprise value 122. Like I said, I hold Beaks, so I'm probably going to be a bit biased. But this is there's broker comments there. Scroll down. So TMX Data Links, the information services division of TMX Group, the Canada-based financial services company, which owns and operates exchanges across equities, fixed income, derivatives, and energy markets, including the Toronto Stock Exchange. So it's a revenue share And the share price has gone up a bit. But the trouble with the revenue shares is they're hard to predict. You know, hard to forecast because Beeks adopted this model for exchanges it sees has scalability. So it won't do it with every exchange. Some of them will be on a total contract value up front. But generally, they are adopting these revenue share models where they see greater potential for these contracts to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because, of course, TMX will offer this to all tier one banks, asset managers, fund managers, all these kind of people, brokers who want scalable infrastructure at the exchange. So the potential for mid to long term is to get bigger revenue and profits, but of course there has to be adoption. So the exchanges will be selling this different exchanges will probably sell it harder than other exchanges. So it's hard to sort of predict how this is going to go. It's going to go well because they wouldn't offer this unless it was demand. And in fact, Michelle Tran, who is president of TMX Datalink, said, by collaborating with Beeks and utilizing their proven exchange cloud platform, we'll be able to offer clients a scalable, proximity-based virtual colocation service that connects them to our markets quickly, signifying reducing deployment. This is a direct response to client demand for more flexible and scalable infrastructure. So then the demand is there, and all they have to do is supply it. So that's good. But of course, you would assume certain exchanges will probably, sales teams are not the same around the world, so certain exchanges probably sell harder than others. So it's hard to know as yet, but Beeks have released, obviously, a trading update for the year, but they're on their full year results. Their full year results are coming out in October, so it'll be interesting to see, not so much, top line and profits, because we know that, it's in the forecast, but more to see how adoption's going of these exchange contracts on revenue share, because we've had, is it three now? There's Australia, there was Kraken, the Mexico wasn't one, was it? It'll be interesting to see the adoption on these contracts, but I do have some faith in this company. It's done compound annual growth rate revenue-wise of something over 30% for the last 5-6 years. It's majority owned by, Gordon MacArthur, CEO, still owns about 32%. And to be honest, their financial performance has become amazing. They're largely becoming the go-to platform for this kind of co-location, low-latency model. And it makes a lot of sense for companies. Where companies would have to deploy their own infrastructure, it costs a lot of money. They don't know if it's going to work or what it's going to work. So they have to, get a lot of hardware, software. They have to get a person to look after that. Because all the exchanges did before this was, rent them space in a rack, one rack, so they may not even take up a rack, and a power. That's all they offer them. Didn't offer them any managing capability. And of course, if their service become more popular or less popular, this companies, or if they are bank asset manager, then they'd have to expand this hardware at their own cost or decrease it at their own cost. Now, this is different with Beeks. And like I said, normally, if the banks or asset managers did this themselves, it would take months to get it working, get it up and running. Whereas Beeks, they can spin this up in literally days, and you can scale up and down as fast as you want because you pay for it. I liken it to, your data storage on the cloud, if your photos, whatever, with Apple or with Amazon, whatever they are, or Google. Essentially, if you want 1 terabyte of space, what does it cost you these days? About £5 a month? Now, if you start taking lots of pictures, all that stuff, then you just, upgrade it. And you can also downgrade that. You can get 2 terabytes for, a bit of money. Or you can downgrade that. Now, you imagine having to, save all those photos yourself, having to buy this sort of, it's a simpler model, but having to buy, external hardware drives of the, and then you realize there's a lot of clutter on there, and then you fill that one up, so you have to get another one. It's a very simplified model, this, but essentially Beeks does all that for you, plus analytics, plus AI data. So it's a better, service, and it doesn't cost as much. It's more efficient. You don't have to employ people to look after it. It's all done for you. It's ready to go, out of the box, scalable, upgrade, downgrades, whatever you want to do, and it's managed from a security point of view, you know, all that stuff. So it makes a lot of sense. And it seemed like, and you know, a lot of companies are adopting this because it's just a more efficient way of working. It's the best software, best hardware, and it's managed for you. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see what happens at the start of October. More for the outlook statement of Beaks rather than the fundamentals, because we know what's going to happen. So they're going to do it for the full year. 37.8 million, that's up 33%. And reported, underlying net profit of 5.2 million, which is up 137%. And they've done these double-digit growths for a long time. But that is a PE of 25. Now, some say that's expensive. Now, if you compare to their peers, it's not expensive. And what do the brokers say? Multiples. So they have them on a sort of infrastructure as a service. So 3.2 times June financial year 26 EV sales. Whereas it's saying other people on five times. So it's not expensive compared to peers, but if you're managing on a sort of PE ratio, it's not cheap. But I don't believe, you know, companies with double-digit, triple-digit growth would be under a PE of 20. It'd be insane that would happen. And also the company with this kind of quality product and service, I don't think will be. And the size of their markets are very big. So I'm biased, like I say, you know, but I believe it's one of those quality companies that could do very, very well. I just want to mention also, on Manx Financial, let's just take that, Jim Mellon model. It's an AIM-listed company which has subsidiaries offering a suite of financial services to retail and commercial customers, both in the Isle of Man and UK. So at 36 pence a share, they are 43 million market cap, enterprise value of 72 million. Their half-year results, I can't comment too much on these. There's no broker comments or forecasts. But half-year results, these are financial highlights. Revenue up 2% to 17.2 million. Net profit up 34% to 3.7 million. And net debt minus 21 million, improved from 22.8. Free cash flow, 8 million versus 6.9, which is up 18%. Like, there's no forecasts. And, you know, banks' balance sheets are a bit complex because their assets are liabilities. For example, a loan they loan out is a liability, plus they earn money off it, so it's also an asset. But it's hard. It's hard to work out. But you know, it's done very well recently, Manx. It's gone from, let's look. Start of the year, it was like 16 pence a share, 1.6. Now it's 36 pence a share. But it seems to have some resistance there at 38 pence. What else is it? Oh, Van Elm. Holdings, trading update today, AGM trading update. So what do? They are the UK's largest specialist geotechnical engineering contractor. The company provides a wide range of ground engineering techniques and services, including ground investigation, general and specialist piling, rail, geotechnical engineering, so into sort of building infrastructure, all that stuff, at 33 pence a share, market cap 35 million, enterprise value 32. So the AGM statement, bit of a nasty profit warning. They did allude to a tough backdrop in their final results on the 23rd of July, but back then they did state they would hit expectations. Now they won't, stating revenues have not increased as anticipated and consequently full-year trading and profitability is expected to be materially below market expectations and below the prior year. That is not what you want to hear if you're a holder of a company. Brokers have downgraded financial year 26 underlying PBT by around 50% to 3 million. So the forecasts now for 26 are revenue 140 million, that's up 7%. Net profit 2.3 million, down 27% on last year. At 33 pence a share, it's a PE of 16 and EV earnings of 14. Not cheap. And the SP in the short term could fall, you know, further, I believe. However, a recovery is expected in 2027, which, if achieved, would put them on a decent valuation. There's a fair chance this recovery could happen because their warning was largely due to delays in the Building Safety Act approvals for high-rise residential buildings. Therefore, these are not cancellations. And if it's just delays, you know, in admin or whatever, regulatory delays, then this could materialise later on in the year or maybe even next year. But for 2027, They're saying revenue now will be 149.9 million, up 7%. Net profit up 78% to 4.1 million. That's 33 pence a share. It's a PE of 9 and an EV/E of 8. And in 2028, they reckon revenue will be up by 4% to 156.2 million and net profit up 37% to 5.6. At 33 pence a share, that's a PE of 6. So if these, you know, delays come through, then right now this is a decent valuation. But, you know, you've got to expect some short-term volatility. It could take a while to recover. But if they announce progress on the Building Safety Act approvals, it's probably worth a watch. So the other question here is this a read across for the whole sector? If it's delays, of course. Or is it specific to Vanel? Sadly, I think it's the former. I think there is delays in the regulation. Just reading some of the builders' reports saying planning and all that stuff is very slow. Everything to do with the government, very slow. So inefficient. Some of the companies I want to touch on just now is, first of all, Time Finance. I didn't mention this last week. In fact, one of the members of the club pointed this out, and I'd actually missed it. So thank you, Jim, for this. He did point out that in Time Finance's, which normally is a boring announcement, notice of results, investor presentation, and AGM. In fact, I'm talking to the CFO in the week, but on the 24th, they're releasing their results. And the 24th, of course, is in 2 days' time, on a Wednesday. But in their results, they said, the board confirms that it continues to expect the group's trading for the current financial year ended 31st of May 2026 to be at least in line with expectations. At least. Now, they said this before, and they've exceeded. In fact, if you look at the chart of time, they've exceeded so many times. And they're always a quite conservative time, which I quite like. Where are they? Time Finance. Yes, they've 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ahead of expectations since the 1st of January 2023. It's one of the situations where it's the perfect way of appointed in my mind. You know, it's someone who doesn't overpromise and underdeliver. They do the other way around. They underpromise and overdeliver. So to me, that at least in line with expectations. So, you know, the worst case scenario is they're in line with expectations, but they're at least in line. So that says to me they're going to be over. It could be ahead of expectations again. And currently, they are trading on a silly multiple, a PE of 9 with double-digit top-line growth. So 11% growth for 2025 top-line to 37 million. Net profit growth of 33%. You see, their margins are getting better. Margin expansion and double-digit growth. PE of 9. So there we are. So I think they'll do, I think people have picked up on this because the share price has slowly been rallying. Let's have a look. Yeah. It hit a sort of low, which is support at 50 pence on the 4th of September. And since then, it's had 1, 2, 3 up days, 2 sideways days, another up day, 1, 2, 3, 4 sideways, and then up day on 18th of September, sideways and up day today. So it's gone from 50 pence to 59 pence in the last few trading sessions. I think people are picking up on the fact that, you know, it's they're going to report good figures. Could be ahead of expectations. So just look on the chart. Beaks is up 2.12, 9% up. In fact, they have the support level pretty much at 190, which they tend to bounce off. 190, £2, remember that, bounce off. And there's some resistance at 236. So it gets above that, it's good to go. Brave Bison is rallying strong. I did mention a while back, these guys seem like the real deal, worth keeping an eye on. But also, I think, also overlooked, what's come off a little bit, which is not as surprising because I had a cracking rally, is a Personal Group. It sort of peaked out at sort of 388, it's now 346. And their results were amazing. You know, and it's getting better. Double-digit revenue growth, a 42% increase in adjusted EBITDA, an expanding base of recurring revenues, underpinning a 26% increase in dividend. Now, Paula Constant, CEO, commented, because she took over a while back and they streamlined the business, sold one part of the business, and now the two parts of the business they have, which is health insurance, benefits, platforms, are doing very well. And she said, we see, and she, I like the way she keeps reiterating this. She hasn't mentioned it once and then forgotten about it. We see considerable room for growth ahead and have a line of sight to achieving our 2030 ambitions of delivering at least 100 million of revenue, 30 million of EBITDA, and 20 million of SaaS annual recurring revenue. To put this in context, right, they're currently forecast to generate 11 million of EBITDA for 2025. And they're going to be doing 30 million by 2030. So that's a big upside. And even their interim dividend is like, the interim dividend is like 2.3%. So they rally hard, and their total dividend is going to be, you know, way over 4%. They've got like a tumbler of cash. I mean, about 23 million, about, I think about 10 million of that they hold as a buffer. So they've got 13 million cash, but 23 million reported. And it's just consistently improving. Margins are getting better. And I think, you know, they are now at a forecast PE of 14, which is not expensive for a company with double digits and paid a good dividend and a rock solid balance sheet. You know, and AR, annual recurring revenue, over 90%. Now, if you want visibility of the stock, you look for recurring revenue. And you look around to see how many companies you can find with annual recurring revenue over 90%. There's very few. So I said, you know, what the Microcap League does is try to find the best risk-reward plays out there based on fundamentals, metrics, and this is one of those. And it's like, huge balance sheet, you know, rock-solid balance sheet, paying a nice dividend, double-digit growth, and they've got huge ambition as well. And it looks like they're going to get there, and recurring revenue, you know, above 90%. Anyway, I hold that stock, so that's why I'm very biased. But, you know, check it out yourself. Those are the facts. Those are the facts. One other thing, shot up over the weekend, it was quite interesting. I did mention last week uranium. It's worth having a look at uranium, of course, because the, you know, the average energy consumption for an AI search is 10 times that of a normal Google search. All these big tech companies, of course, are looking to secure energy for their AI data centers, which are being built out at a rapid rate. Hence the deal last week, you know, with Trump came over Google. But they're all building out. They want to be first or the best AI player in the market. So they have to secure energy because the energy they consume is going to be huge. And that can't just come from gas and electricity, solar and wind. They need baseload power. And that's nuclear. And so they're saying the demand for uranium is picking up. And of course, getting uranium mines online takes a while. And I think we're going to see a big spike up in uranium prices in the next couple of years because the demand is just growing massively. But yeah, I've got Global X Uranium ETF, which just shot up on the weekend, over 8%. For ETF, that's quite big. And so it's worth keeping an eye on uranium plays. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Very soon there'll be some new pages on sharepickers.com. Check it out. Yes, looking good, looking slick. Have a nice weekend. It's not a weekend. What am I talking about? Have a nice day and speak to you tomorrow. Lots of results out tomorrow. So hopefully I'll get a podcast out there, but I'll be quite busy filling in all the data and the forecasts on the website. But speak to you tomorrow. Sharepickers.com. Don't forget. Less than £3 a week to become a member. Data and information alone is well worth more than that, way more than that. And you can get it for, you know, the price of a battered jumbo sausage from the chippy. Simple, isn't it? It's a no-brainer. Speak tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.